This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz. Hi there. Welcome once again to the Saturday Quiz. My name is John Leary, and on this podcast, I ask the 10 questions from the quiz in the Saturday paper, and a different pair of guests each week try to answer them. Joining me this week are two gentlemen with long and varied careers in the entertainment industry. One you would be most familiar with from his role on the TV series Offspring, but he also appears in the ABC comedy Fisk and the SBS historical drama New Gold Mountain. And the other works across all sorts of mediums, writing, producing, and performing on radio, television, and podcasts. And you can see them both right now in the TV series Spreadsheet on Paramount Plus. Welcome to the show, Rick Davies and Ryan Shelton.
Thank you so much, Johnny John John.
Hi.
Thank you, Johnny John John.
Thanks for coming on.
I've got to say, and this is just my ego speaking, I am slightly disappointed that I'm less recognisable than Rick.
No, I think you're way more recognisable than me.
I'm going off John's intro. John's intro is truth.
Well, I'll remind you that when you, myself and Dave Lawson were walking down Lygon Street in East Brunswick, probably about 5 years ago, and someone, two ladies rode past, and one said, "Ryan Shelton, you fucking legend," and no one said, "Rick Davies, you fucking legend." So,
and you haven't held on to that.
Ryan got his own shout out.
Yeah, but that's an interesting story. We should definitely keep that story. That's great.
Look, I would put it to you that Rick, you are more recognizable, but Ryan, you probably have
more
a
talented
voice that more people, and you're more talented.
Much more talented.
You probably have a voice that more people would recognize.
Oh, because I was on radio and
how
podcast
about that?
Yeah, okay, I'll take that. Yeah,
maybe you take that.
Well, I mean, like, when you got a face like Richard Davies, I mean,
I know, right?
That's, you're gonna remember it, that's for sure.
Yeah,
for all the wrong reasons.
Are either of you quiz takers in your spare time?
Not at all.
Not at all.
No, I'm in a group of friends who love the quiz. Love it. And I don't dislike it. I mean, I love it when I know an answer, for sure.
Yeah.
But I kind of dread it because I feel like it kind of exposes my lack of general knowledge, as this is about to do.
Do either of you feel like you might have an area of expertise?
Nope.
Quick answer from Rick, no.
I'm about to shoot myself in the foot, no doubt. But I would say, if anything, it could be like film or television.
Yeah,
potentially.
Okay.
I think that, or Back to the Future too, but that's pretty niche.
That's very niche. Yeah.
I think the arts and sports could be a strength. I think a downfall. Okay. Every now and then, like, I'll know a question that I wouldn't have thought I would. So are you tailoring the quiz around the answers we're giving you now?
No, mate. No. The quiz is set.
Pre-written. Mm-hmm.
I have no control over the quiz. The quiz is written by someone else and set by someone else, Cindy McDonald.
My weakness probably is like history or geography.
Okay, brilliant. Question number one is geography.
Geography, so, okay. Right.
I feel like I should pledge at the start that I'm not going to Google any answers, and if I get everyone wrong and I look like an idiot, I'm going to stand behind that.
Exactly. Googling is not allowed. Previous listeners, they would remember when I had Tripod on the show and I muted Gatesy because he Googled an answer and I was furious. But he's the only person.
It's disrespectful. I would never do that to you, John.
It is.
Yeah.
I will never Google. I promise you I won't Google.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
I can't comfortably pledge that, but thanks, Rick.
Okay. Well, hopefully you won't have to. We'll find out after this break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You are listening to The Saturday Quiz. My guests today are Rick Davies and Ryan Shelton. And here we go with question number one. Yerevan is the capital of which landlocked Eurasian country?
Oh,
so, it's a pretty tough one
straight off.
Sorry, guys. But the whole thing with this podcast is that I will squeeze the correct answer out of you. I'll keep on giving you clues until you give me
this. This is going to be a long episode. Okay.
I really regret promising that I wouldn't Google just then.
can I ask the spelling?
Yerevan. Y-E-R-E-V-A-N. Yerevan.
That's how I thought. Damn. Yerevan.
Yeah, no clues there. I'll tell you that there are currently 44 landlocked countries and 5 partially recognised landlocked states in the world.
I feel like the more hints you give me, the more embarrassing it's going to get for me.
Well, yeah, I promise you I won't keep giving you obscure hints. Like the GDP of this nation is...
Oh, I'm good with GDP.
It's right in the middle of the continents of Europe and Asia.
The capital of which landlocked Eurasian country?
Yeah, okay. Which country in Eurasia? So,
just running through my favourite landlocked countries. In my head.
Yeah, it's bordered by Turkey, Iran, Georgia, and Azerbaijan.
Iraq?
It's not Iraq. It starts with A.
A.
America.
You've both spent a little bit of time in Los Angeles, correct?
Here we go. What do you want to know?
Now, there's an area in Los Angeles which is called Little This Country.
Armenia.
Little Armenia. Yeah, it is Armenia.
Thanks, Rai. My cortisol was just peaking then.
Well done. Yerevan is the capital of
Armenia.
Armenia.
Okay.
Don't forget it.
Thank you.
Okay, question number two. If given a Glockenspiel, would you eat it, drink it, recite it, or play it?
I'd play it.
Yeah. Rick's doing it right now.
You could try and eat it.
Yeah. That'd be a bit hard.
That's true.
Do you know what Glockenspiel literally translates to?
I can speak some German. Game. Spiel is game or fun.
Or play. In this instance, it's play. Yeah. Spiel.
Glocken.
Yeah, Glock. What is Glock?
Clock?
No. Not clock, but related, nearly.
Time to play.
What are clocks have in them?
Arms.
Cogs?
Not cogs. Hands.
Numbers.
No, if they're an alarm clock, what are they?
Oh, buzzer? Bell? A bell.
Bell. Bell.
Bell.
Bell play.
Clock is bell.
Bell play.
Bell play. Thank you. All right, question number three. Which author created the character Kay Scarpetta?
Oh, Patricia Cornwell.
Oh.
Whoa.
Holy moly.
You know,
look
sometimes,
at that, Rick.
Sometimes they just jump
they land.
Out and
that's I
surprise everyone. Sometimes I surprise everybody.
Wow.
Not often.
Are you a reader of Patricia Cornwell novels?
It'd be strange if you weren't. I just said a random name.
I haven't for many years, but Dr. Kay Scarpetta, she was, I think from memory, the... what was the name? It's been years. Chief of the medical forensic department or something.
Did you really read those books, mate? Doesn't sound like you read those books. Sounds like you guessed Patricia Cornwell.
Yeah, like real.
Do you know?
I think the word
what
is
the name of the first novel in the Kay Scarpetta novels.
If you could give me a hint, I would.
The
probably...
first book starts with P, and it was published in 1990.
Can you give me a little bit more than that?
It's one word, and it's kind of got to do with...
Just give me the first word, then.
The first word?
Yeah.
It's only one word, though.
So just give it to me.
He'll know. He'll know if you get... I reckon he'll get it if you get it.
It is post-mortem.
Post-mortem. I haven't read that one.
Post-mortem.
But I definitely...
Well, that was the first one. Yeah. And the latest one just got published this year. It's called Autopsy.
Post-autopsy.
There's 25. Can you believe that? She's written 25 Kay Scarpetta novels.
Jeez.
All right, let's move on, because we're only up to question number four.
Okay, good. Okay.
Question number four. Cabbage tree, parlor, date, and kentia are all types of what?
Cruciferous.
What?
Cruciferous? Isn't that a type of...
Rick, wake up.
What? Oh, I was having the cruciferous dream again. I feel like there's a vegetable that's... But you said cabbage tree. Date's not a vegetable, I suppose. But I was thinking of bloody cauliflower when you said cabbage. Can I just go back to bed now?
So what are the four? So there's date, cabbage tree,
parlour, and kentia.
Parlour and kentia.
And you're on the way. You're.
But I've never heard of parlour in this context, though. They all feature in the Saturday quiz.
Yes, that's true. But they're all, you're right, they're all types of tree, but what type of tree is that?
I would never have said a date and a cabbage would be related.
Not a cabbage, but a cabbage tree.
Yeah, I have no idea.
You do know.
How do you know what I know?
Of course.
I know what you know.
Get out of my head, Leary.
Also, let's go back to Los Angeles. What kind of trees line the boulevards?
Oh, ornamental there? Pears? Palm tree. No, there was...
Palm trees.
Oh.
They're all types of palms.
Palm trees, wow. Of course.
Okay.
And cabbages don't grow on trees.
Cabbage tree palm, parlor palm, date palm, and kentia palm.
Would never have got it. Would never have got it.
Might have eventually.
That shows you, John. You don't know what I know, John.
All right, question number 5. Who is known as the patron saint of charitable societies?
Oh. The patron saint.
So, Rick, you went to religious school, correct?
Yeah, pretty religious, I suppose.
Was it Catholic school?
I believe it was Presbyterian.
Oh, okay. Might be a little different. What about you, Ryan? Did you go to Catholic school?
I went to an Anglican.
Anglican, all right. I mean, this guy
features...
Not Patrick, no. This guy features in the Anglican kind of saint... situation as well.
I mean, I will preface that by saying that I was the only Jew in an Anglican school.
Okay.
Unless it's like Solomon or something, then I'm probably not going to get it.
You've certainly heard of this guy and charitable...
Jesus.
Not Jesus.
Peter. Paul. Peter Paul.
There's a bit of Paul in there.
Pauline.
Paula?
Paul's at the end.
John Paul. Think of charitable societies. John Paul.
Not John Paul.
I guess.
Oh, Vincent. St. Vincent de Paul.
St. Vincent de Paul. Well done.
God, that feels good.
Well done.
Yeah,
I love winning.
Got that rush. Got the flow back.
I love quizzes. I love this thing.
The Anglican educated Jewish guy got the saint question. Well done.
St. Vincent de Paul makes sense. I love a logical answer. Great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Vinny's. Good. Okay. Well, we're going to take another break. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thanks for coming back. You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. My guests today are Rick Davies and Ryan Shelton, and they're up to question number 6. Which British boxer retained his WBC heavyweight title
Lennox
in
Lewis.
Las Vegas this month?
Only joking. Whenever I'm wrong, I'm joking. So,
what did you say an answer?
I said Lennox Lewis, but
not Lennox Lewis.
That was in the 90s,
probably.
Oh, I saw a clip of this guy the other day. This is very recent.
Yeah, this was only on the 9th.
I'm very unaware of boxing.
Very unaware of boxing. You've also got a bonus point for knowing his nickname and
Punchy.
For naming the fighter that he defeated. So there's a couple of questions here.
Okay.
British boxer. You can get his first name by knowing the surname of another very famous boxer.
Tyson.
Is his first name, correct? He was actually named after Mike Tyson.
Mm.
Tyson Mike?
His name is not Tyson Mike. But his first name is Tyson. And his surname is is quite apt for someone who boxes
fight.
For a pugilist.
Tyson fight. Tyson ring.
Tyson.
Tyson ring.
Tyson gloves.
Tyson gloves.
No, it's more an attitude or...
Tyson rage.
Oh, close to rage. Very Tyson, close to rage.
Tyson.
Tyson's sting like a bee.
Starts with F.
It's Tyson Fury.
Fury.
Yes. Tyson Fury is this man's name.
Whoa, it sounds like a Marvel... I guess it is. Yeah. Nick Fury's like...
Oh, yeah.
Brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Tyson Fury, congratulations, is the retained his WBC heavyweight title.
And nickname?
Now, what's his nickname? Yeah, what's his nickname?
Punchy. I already said it.
Oh, Punchy.
Yeah.
Tyson Punchy Fury.
Boxer?
It's not. Let me tell you this. Although
Tyson's the Boxer Fury.
That would be a good one.
Tyson the Heavyweight Boxer Fury.
Yeah, my name is Tyson Fury, but you can call me the Heavyweight Boxer. Everyone does.
Okay, so although he was born in Manchester, his heritage is Irish traveller.
Mm.
And the Irish travellers are a peripatetic ethno-cultural group originating in Ireland. So that means that they're like a nomadic people.
Okay.
So there is you're on the right. What did you say, Rick?
Gypsy?
Yes. There is, well, that's not the entire name, but he's the Gypsy something. Yeah, take that clap away.
The Gypsy Wanderer.
The Gypsy Boxer.
He's not Tyson the Gypsy Boxer.
Gypsy King. Gypsy King?
Gypsy King.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
There you go.
That's a really cool name.
That is his nickname.
That's a really, really cool name. All four words. Tyson.
There's a band called the Gypsy Kings.
Five words.
There is. But no relation. Do you remember the film Snatch?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, big time.
With Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
And he was a bare-knuckle fighter?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, he was playing a member of this of an Irish traveller family.
Yeah. Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay, now you've got one more bonus point in this question, which is naming the fighter that he defeated.
Oh.
That's going to be a lot harder.
Again, I keep saying I saw the video, but I don't remember the name. I saw a little video on Instagram.
It was their third fight.
Do I get a point for that?
Nope.
No.
No way.
DW are his initials.
Dwayne Wade.
I wish it was.
Dane.
No, look, this is going to be too
David Waterston. David Waterston?
No, not David Waterston. It was Deontay Wilder.
Yes.
Fury versus Wilder.
Fury versus Wilder. Isn't that a great...
Yeah. That's amazing, yeah.
Fury versus Wilder 3 was the fight that occurred earlier this month, and it ended with an 11th round knockout.
11th round?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on, how many rounds is it, 12?
12.
12, yeah, okay. I'm so shit with boxing, clearly.
I know, it's a lot. That's a long time to be
getting
hit by someone, though.
They're seriously fit people.
Yeah.
Seriously fit.
Yeah, and this is after, mind you, that this fight was meant to be earlier this year. But they put it off a little bit because Tyson Fury had COVID.
Oh, no way.
What's COVID?
I don't know how to answer that. Okay. Question number 7. Which regional Australian city is home to the Big Merino?
No, it's a guitar.
Queensland?
Regional city.
Oh, shit.
I'm just going to eliminate a few. Gundagai is the dog on the tucker box.
Very good. It's nearby. Sort of nearby.
The big guitar is in Tamworth.
That's Tamworth, yep.
What are we talking about? The big merino sheep?
Yeah, the big merino.
Or the big merino sheep, as it's colloquially known as.
He's colloquially known as Rambo, actually.
Oh, okay.
The big merino?
Yeah. Because he's a big ram.
I think. Does it start with R?
The town?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Or the Australian regional city? No.
So it doesn't start with R. That's helpful.
Oh, so it's Hockhampton then.
No, it's not. Get out of Queensland. It's in New South Wales.
Oh, right. Okay, I was really waiting to funnel. Okay, why did we... Ryan said Queensland. I started thinking Queensland. Okay, New South Wales. Okay, we're gonna get this. Does it start with...
Yeah, you will.
Does it start with D?
No. Just stop asking what it starts with. No. It's on the way between Sydney and Canberra.
Oh, this is geography, John. And you know not to ask me geography questions.
Sydney and Canberra. Right.
Okay. It was
John, are you wrapped with your guests this week?
No, I love it. This is what I live for. Okay, it was... Let me tell you a little about it, because it's very interesting. It was conceived and built by the Makani brothers, Attila and Louis, in 1985 as a monument to this town and the surrounding district's fine wool industry. It stands 15.2 metres high, 18 metres long, and weighs 97 tonnes.
That helps.
And it was moved 800 metres in 2007 to be closer to the Hume Highway, because they built a bypass. Oh, yeah. Oh, so yes. They moved it 800 metres, which is barely anything. On a big truck.
On a skateboard.
Massive.
A couple of guys with a skateboard. And these same brothers, Attila and Louis Makani, were also responsible for building the big prawn at Ballina and the big oyster at Taree. Wow.
Someone got a name for themselves.
Yeah. They were the big brothers.
They were big brother.
So there's not so far between Canberra and Sydney.
So it starts with G.
We've already said the dog on the tiger box was Gundagai. We already said that.
It was Gundagai.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely not Gundagai.
Yeah.
No, they don't have
circle
another
back one more time on Gundagai.
And the dog on the tiger box is only a small thing. Okay. Like that's not a big thing.
It's the
1-to-1
dog.
It's a 1-to-1 ratio dog to tucker box. Yes.
It'd be cool if they put all the big things in just Gundagai, and it was like home of the big banana, the big prawn, the big, like, just big town.
Knock them all off in one trip, get it done, go home. Yeah.
So it starts with G. What can I tell you?
You've run out of hints. Surely they'll get it by this hint. And then they haven't.
He's actually just recasting the episode. He's just sending emails out.
So neither of you have driven Canberra to Sydney or Sydney to Canberra, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'll say is Goulburn, but I don't think it would be Goulburn.
It is Goulburn.
I Googled it.
Oh, come on!
Did you really? We made a pledge, man.
We weren't going to get it. The hints had run out.
No, you know what? The hints had run out. You could have done the rowers who did the ad for the fruit, the Awesome Foursome, Goulburn Valley Gold. You could have dropped one of them in.
That would have got you there.
That would have got you there. Sure.
I nearly said that there was a valley named after it.
Actually, now that you say that, Rick, I can probably add to my list of strengths. It's 90s ads. I'd probably be pretty strong.
All right. Okay.
It is. I apologize.
I won't mute you because you were very honest with your
I felt terrible about it immediately, but you know.
All right. Question number 8. Who was the first African American United States Secretary of State?
Colin Powell.
Colin Powell. Yeah.
It was Colin Powell. There you go.
Right.
Do you know what number Secretary of State he was?
I thought you were going to say, do you know why?
Do you know why he was? Because he was. He was the 65th Secretary of State of the United States after Madeleine Albright. She was the 64th, and she was the first female Secretary of State. Do you know who succeeded Colin Powell? Who came next?
Condoleezza Rice.
It was Condoleezza Rice. Well done. Who was, therefore, the first African-American female in the role.
Amazing.
So three firsts in a row there.
Jeez. I'm not good with maths either, but that sounds great.
All right, question number 9. Are the stars on the New Zealand flag, and this is a multiple choice, are they A, white, B, red, bordered in white, C, white, bordered in red, or D, red?
I'd say red bordered in white. B.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Ricky, white bordered in red.
White bordered in red? And yeah. Red bordered in white?
Yeah.
It is red bordered in white. Well done.
Well done.
Thank you.
Sorry, Rick.
No, that's all right. I'll get over it.
I mean, you got cumulative points, so it's okay.
We're a team. We're all in it together.
Yeah, you're a team.
Are you keeping score, John?
No, I don't keep score. That's the.
Oh, there's no scores. Great.
There's no scores. It's just cool. Let's get the answers. Let's
notice
find
that
them
I asked
together.
That. I asked that after I got one right.
That Rick didn't get right.
What's the prize for this, actually?
Anyway, well done. The stars on the New Zealand flag are red, bordered in white.
Do you know how many stars
there are on the flag?
One.
I was going to say that reset really let me know that a lot of that's going to be deleted.
You know.
Cool. So, question 7.
I'm going to say six. I'm going to say 6 or 7 or 8.
I reckon 6.
You're a little high. Little high, guys.
I was joking. I was going to say 5.
There's 4. There are 4 stars on the New Zealand flag.
Really?
Yeah. They do the Southern Cross without the little star.
And there's no big one.
And there's no big one because that's our Federation star.
Mm-hmm.
Or Commonwealth star.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, stuff I should know. Go.
Of course.
All right. And we're up to the final question.
Oh, this is the final question?
Yeah. Oh, there's geez. Only 10 okay. questions. So if you've been holding back with any of your good stuff, you know, let it go now.
Okay. Now I'll say everything I know.
You've already got the best of it from me, so that's all I got.
Excellent. All right, here we go. Question number 10. Melbourne reputedly holds the record for the world's longest cumulative COVID-19 lockdown after overtaking which city?
Oh, great question. Great question.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like it.
I don't know the answer to it, but it's a great question.
So where else in the world was locked down?
London?
London. I reckon we can rule out the States. We can rule out pretty much the United Kingdom, just all of it. Just they just get out there and get out and about.
Yeah, they weren't nearly as locky down here as we were. I'll give you a clue. It's in South America.
South America?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Well, I mean, Brazil's had a horrible time with it. So I don't think they were locked. I want to say Argentina.
Yeah.
Argentina?
It is a city in Argentina.
Buenos Aires?
It is. Buenos Aires.
Correct.
Well done. You got it.
Finishing on a
high. Well done.
Buenos Aires.
Have either of you been to Buenos Aires?
Si.
I shot a beer ad over there. A beer commercial. It was really good fun.
Oh, is that from a place you'd rather be?
No. It was a Carlton dry ad. It was like, what's your dry dream? And it was, I was in the military base. My dry dream was, Carlton dry dream was skeet shooting in a tank. And there was all the explosions going off. And so, and my whole thing was like, Paul! And I'd, in this massive tank.
Oh, that's right.
And it was like, and the first one misses and this big explosion goes off in the field. It was fucking great fun.
Wow.
And then the second one, they timed it so it looked like they set the explosion off as it went across. And they detonated it when it was level with the tank pointer. And
the barrel of the...
Did a lot of research, yeah.
And the barrel roll. And then celebrate, and then it cuts to us in our backyard, and I just said skeet shooting in a tank. And it's like, what's your dry dream?
That is fantastic. I don't know if Carlton Dry advertises on this podcast, but we are going to go to another break, so we'll see. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rick, has enough time passed to tell us how much you got paid?
I can't remember.
That's a lie.
I honestly can't remember.
I'll tell you how much I got paid for my Pepsi ad when I was 16.
How much did you get paid for your Pepsi ad?
Can I guess? I reckon Pepsi would have had a huge budget.
Yeah, maybe they did, but not for me.
What was it? What happened in your Pepsi ad?
It was actually only aired in the Middle East, but they shot it in Melbourne.
Okay. Did you get it because you could sort of pass for, you know,
I assume so, yeah. Right. Yeah. So I was. It was my first ever audition that I'd ever done. I did private drama classes at my school.
Yeah.
And the teacher, Penny Schlamm, clearly, like, she knew the casting people, and they asked her if any of her students might be good. And so a few of us went for an audition, and I got it. And the concept, I was a non-speaking role. There's four, like,
buddies.
I don't know why I'm laughing.
This is brilliant. I love it.
Whenever you talk, I always feel like you're on the edge of this massive punchline, and I'm right here. Sorry, well, carry on.
That is a very nice thing to say, but to set those expectations low. And so the concept of the ad was that there are these four friends, and one of the guys is like this young inventor, like this genius kid, and he's invented a robot called Dexter. Oh, was it Dexter? I think it was called Dexter, weirdly.
Dexter, wasn't that Perfect Match?
Yeah, but this was a Middle Eastern ad, so I don't think they had...
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure it was Dexter, yeah. And so the whole idea of the ad was he could get Dexter to do anything for him. And so we're all around checking out the robot. He's like, Dexter, get us a Pepsi. And then Dexter, like, goes down to the shops and, like, buys a Pepsi from the shop and then comes back. And that's pretty much it. So I had no lines. And it was a day and a half, and I got paid $2,500.
Not
at
bad.
16, first audition. Can you imagine what that did to me?
Which would have been amazing. Yeah. Like, you would have just gone...
Amazing.
Yeah. Straight to your head.
And I genuinely said... I genuinely thought to myself at the time, this is great. All I have to do is one of these a week. And... I genuinely thought that.
One a week, mate. I'd be happy with that one a month.
Oh, same. Yeah. But, like, I had... Because it was my first audition, it just seemed like, well, you just... I'm just clearly good at it.
Yeah. Just like you're clearly good at this quiz.
Thanks for having me, John. Thank you so much for doing the quiz. Thank you, John.
Absolute pleasure. I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Saturday Quiz. Very quickly, because I know it's a long one, please remember to subscribe, rate and review, and find me on Twitter and Instagram. Thanks to all of you who so generously support this podcast. And thank you to my guests this week, Rick Davies and Ryan Shelton. I tried, but I can't find Ryan's Pepsi ad. Rick's is on YouTube, though, so I'll see if I can post a link. Thank you to Cindy McDonald for another fantastic quiz. My name's John Leary, and I'll have more questions for you same time next week.